coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion.
Well, if I could change anything, cookies.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash, and today we are talking about Survivor Philippines, which is one of my favorite seasons, despite having a pretty dark stain on its cast, but we will get to that. But before we get into it, if you like my content and you want to see more, you can subscribe for more weekly content. And let's just get right on into Survivor Philippines. Hell yeah.
You know, I have people come up to me all the time and ask me about Frankenstein. He picked a little girl a flower. I mean, he strangled after he gave it to her, but still, you know, he picked her a flower. And I think that's the way I feel about myself. Is I can strangle you or pick you a flower. It just depends on what you pull out of me. You know what I mean?
Zane Knight seems like such a fantastic character just waiting to burst out. There's an alternative universe somewhere where Zane and Angie are the Malcolm and Denise of the season, and I want to live in that universe so bad. He revolutionized a game-changing strategy in throwing himself under the bus and asking to be voted out to test his tribe's loyalty, a plan so good it actually worked, and he was swiftly voted out. That was his goal, right?
I ain't built for it. As I'm kind of finishing, you know, kind of the pep talk, Zane basically cuts me off and the guy throws himself under the bus.
My legs cramped so hard that I sat. You know what I'm saying? Y'all didn't. So I don't feel like that it's a choice.
What it did was it made the decision pretty damn easy in terms of who's going home tonight.
I deserve it, buddy.
My whole reason why I'm throwing my neck on the chopping block is to establish whether I'm running.
This whole ruse that I just threw on was just to fill out my tribe exactly how I need to work things. It's going to be worse and worse and worse. So hopefully everybody loves me to the point to where they would rather have me as a hindrance than to keep Russell. I took my shot. I'm playing chess the best way I know how. And hopefully, I'm going to king me.
You ain't never seen a move like this in Survivor history.
Everyone wanted him around, too. I really wish they brought him back in Game Changers, now that I think about it. Zane is such an iconic first boot, and he almost became a fantastic character. I'm gonna have to put him in Hilarious, really.
Worst you've seen on this show?
A guy passing out in the middle of a challenge, and he just cannot recover, and he doesn't want to leave the game at all. And even in his delirium, he's like, please, no matter what, don't take me out of the game.
Roxy Morse. I like Roxy, but she doesn't last long enough to make a lasting impression. She's a duo with Angie at first, but then she turns against her when Angie starts cuddling with Malcolm. She's outspoken and fights to stay over Angie, but Denise doesn't want to ruin her alliance with Malcolm, so Roxy has to go. Sucks. She might have been a good character. Her speaking in tongues was fucking weird, though. Mildly entertaining.
If I could change one thing about this tribe...
That we could have cookies.
Malcolm.
Angie Layton. Angie is absolutely amazing. It's not just for the cookies thing. She was just good throughout her short run, but the cookie scene is amazing. There's no doubt about that. She just has this hilarious way of talking, like she talks like an eighth grader.
I said, I'm not good at puzzles. He puts me at puzzles because he's not good at puzzles. What kind of leader does
that
show?
I didn't like that tactic because...
He's like, well, I'm not good at puzzles, so you do puzzles. Hello, I'm not good at puzzles either. That's not fair. Well, guess what? Me and Roxanne wanted to run, and guess what? He said no.
I wouldn't call her dumb, but she's got this really childish way of going about things. You can tell when she's complaining about Russell. It just comes off as a teenager complaining about their teacher. I said I wanted to run, but he said he didn't want to do the puzzle. Or maybe her sentence structure just seems extremely rudimentary compared to Denise. I'm having trouble trying to explain it exactly, but it's endearing and funny, so it's a positive. Angie then latches on to Malcolm as the duo of hot people, and I love how Malcolm has to defend her. Angie tries so hard, but she's on such a cursed tribe and is fed to the elimination beast just because they kept losing and needed to vote off somebody, and Angie's not as strong as Russell. Regardless of only lasting 3 episodes, Angie's still an absolutely hilarious character that brings me so much joy. I'm putting her in hilarious. Angie is great.
The last time I played...
Whoa! Russell, you with me?
Survivor smacked me in the chops.
Russ, you with us?
And this time I'm smacking back. And either these people will run with me, or I'm going to have to run them over. That's it.
Russell Swan. I love Russell, but boy does he drop the ball leading Matt Singh.
Do this leadership thing before. Look at that guy! So, no leaders here. We're all a team. I don't care what they do. They can vote for a chief. They can vote for 2 chiefs. They can vote for his high supreme. Whatever it is, I'm not going to be it. Let's just get this stuff, get it all here, and then we'll figure out what we want to do.
Okay.
All right? Because there's always some guy who's an idiot. I think I should be the leader. Okay, you're right. You're the man. Oh, thank you. My hero. And just watch him crash and burn, dummy.
12 seconds later.
Well, what we'll do, have the fire pit down, like, closer to that part of the tree down there.
Russell keeps telling us that he's not the leader, but he's the one who's sitting there saying, okay guys, now go take a 5-minute break, drink some water.
It's a shame, too, because on a season where he's not on such a cursed tribe, Russell making it to the third wheel in the Dennis and Malcolm duo and surviving both the Zayn and Angie vote was very impressive, and it's a shame it didn't matter because that tribe was just decimated immediately. If Russell makes the merge or even to a swap, who knows? Maybe he makes it to the end. Realistically, he probably would be picked off as a threat before the merge, but one can dream. Russell is absolutely hilarious his entire run, and it's a shame we did not get more of him.
I have a feeling that I've been, like, past this thing, like, 100 million times. It's, like, right there. And then everybody's gonna see, there's gonna be, like, this flash on the screen, and they're gonna be like, this dummy, he's walking past it, and it just sucks. And I don't blame Malcolm for wanting a little slap and tickle, but I can't get down with that. You get your bang on somewhere else.
Russell's boot episode is one of my favorite episodes in the entire series, too. The scene of Russell telling the story of how he was bullied as a kid and finally getting revenge is probably one of the most beautiful scenes in the entire show.
I got jumped by 2 kids. I was probably about 8. I was walking home from school, and, you know, I got beat up, but beat up as little kids get beat up. It wasn't like a grown man butt whooping where you're in the hospital, but... And I can remember... For a long time after that, I would go to school and I was scared because I would see them and they would tease and all that kind of stuff. So, long story short, I catch one of them. And without even thinking, I just punched him right in his face. And he started crying. And it was something about that. Like, not the, because I don't condone violence, but it was something about just not being in fear. I think just from that day, it was just like, I'm not going to cower in the face of anything.
It's just absolutely gorgeous. It gives me goosebumps. It's so powerful and a big reason why I love Russell so much. The dude's just got so much heart. Even if he may not be the best leader or the greatest challenge beast, you just feel so bad for him during his breakdown because I think we've all had those times where everything's just going wrong and you question your own existence.
Russell, you've been going on breaking pots, talking to I don't know who, if you're talking to God.
I'm talking to God, Lord. I mean, Jeff, I'm a guy who was formed by God's hands. I'm a perfect creature.
Not everyone can succeed at everything. In a competition, by design, someone will fail. Someone will lose.
It pisses me off, but at the same time, logically, I understand.
But Russell, it's fantastic. I think I'm going to put him in love.
Coming into the group and looking around at the rest of them, I don't really see any other tatted up people with punked out spiky hair.
I shoot with a bow, actually.
That's even better. But like Jeff, you know, he's from the South, like I'm from the South. Obviously, he has a ranch, and I grew up riding four-wheelers, fishing. I'd fight any boy that in a trailer park that would ever challenge me.
Dana Lambert. Dana is a rough and tumble Southern gal who's here to prove how tough she is, which is why she quits over being too cold. I mean, I feel bad for her, and her quit is justifiable just because she's not able to handle the weather, but it still doesn't make her a good character, and she's one of the few meh characters on this season.
Maybe I should date this athlete.
What do you consider an athlete?
Football, basketball, then I guess at the end maybe baseball.
Sarah Dawson. Dawson is creepy. She crushes hard on Jeff, and unlike Julie Berry, it is not reciprocated. The guys married Dawson stop. The way she kisses a clearly uncomfortable Jeff when she gets voted off kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It was gross, and Dawson is a creep. Some people really like Dawson. I don't really get it. She's more annoying than she is funny. Like, I can see finding humor in how much she annoys Jeff Kent, but for me, it's just not enough for me to like her.
I know. Jeff Kent is a former professional athlete, and as far as I know, I'm the only person who knows. So I enjoy getting into his mind and making him uncomfortable.
She just really doesn't do anything cool enough that makes up for how weird she is to Jeff Probst. I'm gonna have to put her in annoying.
Did you not see me today?
You were not good.
I was not good.
You were not good.
I was bad.
Katie Hansen. Katie's there. She has a women's alliance with Dana and Dawson, but then she loses both of them in one fell swoop, and then she's taken out herself. Oh well, she's kind of funny, not very memorable, but she's sassy and butts heads with Jonathan in a decently funny way. I'm gonna put her in mildly entertaining.
You know, I thought I had it locked down. I thought I had Abby as my number two. I thought I had Pete. I think I'm in danger if there's an immunity challenge and we lose.
If I knew what I did wrong, I could apologize. And instead, it's this big blow up again of nothing. I mean, it can't just be me constantly saying, let's talk about this, let's get over it, let's move on. We need to be united, we need to be a team.
R.C. St. Amour. I feel so bad for her. She was absolutely despised by Abby Maria based on absolutely nothing. She became the social pariah and only makes the merge because she literally never goes to tribal council until the merge, where she gets idled out. As for the positives, she's hot. That may seem superficial and subjective, but no, she's ridiculously gorgeous, and most of my enjoyment of her comes from how nice she is to look at. But she's mostly just a punching bag for Abby Maria. Her laugh at Final Tribal Council is horrible, though. I'll put her in a cute.
I'm Jeff Kent. I played 17 years of Major League Baseball. And I played in the World Series where we had screaming fans on the feet with bases loaded. I've seen pressure. This is going to be a challenge for me, no doubt. But I'm hoping people won't recognize me.
Jeff Kent.
And it's not even $1 million. It's 600 grand by the time Obama takes it.
I love his vote out quote because a joke I say whenever the lottery becomes this huge amount is congratulations to the IRS for winning the lottery. Sorry, Jeff Kent. You know what they say. The only two certainties in this world are death and taxes. Jeff's great. I love his little nicknames for his moves, like the Penner Punch. It's awesome. He guns for Penner the entire time and goes out way before him, which I'm sure pissed him off. Jeff Kent is a great season narrator, and it goes without question. He's one of the most entertaining people on the entire cast. It's a wonder he's never been brought back. He's for sure going and entertaining.
Artist is cursing up a storm during the competition. They're cursing at you.
What did I do?
Nothing. I don't think he did anything. He was just really upset.
Artist Sylvester. Artist is hard to assess. Also, he looks like a pirate. He does not have much content, but what content he does have is so underrated and is kind of great. How annoyed he gets at the stalemate challenge at scooping for being okay with giving up the challenge for Rice is pretty great.
You don't want to hear what I got to say about it. What I want to do, I want to win. I don't give up nothing. And you can keep all that mess to yourself. I don't need to hear it.
All right, calm down. It's all right.
My theory is he just hates everyone else on this season, and it's why he stays so quiet, only opening his mouth to roast somebody, usually scooping. Artist fucking hates scooping. It's hilarious. He uses the entire Final Tribal Council speech just to crap on the final three. Artist is quite based, actually, so I'm putting him in mildly entertaining, even though he was purpled.
There was already a wedge between RC and Abby, but now it's concrete, and it all comes from one piece of paper. I would love to send RC home right now. I don't trust RC as far as I can throw her. She's dangerous, but she has one big problem. I'm here.
Pete Yurkowski. He's definitely nice to look at. Before the rewatch, I had no idea who Pete was, but on the rewatch, I think he might be underrated. He's the real leader of Tandang, has Abby Maria in his pocket, but then he finds himself in a situation where Abby Maria is his only real ally left, so Pete gets the axe as a huge threat left on the board. He's great at challenges, is a super good looking guy, and has decent confessionals. Nothing super memorable or iconic, but Pete is surprisingly a decent enough character where I can at least put him in fun downfall.
I got injured in a challenge.
An infection that goes into your bloodstream is potentially fatal.
It was awful.
Couldn't have tried any better. Couldn't have fought any harder.
You know how on fire I am to win this thing? You know how much I can taste this? And you know how I can actually see it? 39 days from now, I'll make $1 million.
Jonathan Penner.
Glad you're on the show, Jonathan.
Thank you, buddy. Me too.
Had he just said yeah to Lisa, Penner wins the game.
I want to go to the end with you two.
Well, I mean, that's, first off, thank you. That's cool, and I appreciate that. But I personally am more than comfortable taking care of business one thing at a time. I really am comfortable taking care of Abby and Peter, but I'm not that interested in committing anything to anybody. Not yet.
That's his problem. He's too honest. This is Survivor, man. It's okay to lie. Penner is fantastic as always. In fact, this is probably the best Penner has ever been.
There's no quit in me. But the only way that I can get further now is by take my foot way off the gas pedal, climb into the back seat, pull a blanket over my head, and hope they forget that I'm here for a little while. So, all bets are off. I have no alliances. I have no allegiances. I don't care. Everybody's equal. They are all ready to die.
It's also his best game from a strategic standpoint. Penner honestly has good reads all game. His idle play at the merge is one of the best idle plays we've seen this far, and his strategy of grabbing all the bags and putting them in a corner was such a brilliant challenge break and move.
Penner is looking for all the bags for his team and pulling them up.
Got them all, they're in the corner.
New strategy by the red team.
Penner comes into this season full force, and it's a shame he came up short. Him shouting Denise when he goes up to vote is hilarious.
Denise.
I love Penner so much. The dude's just such a smartass. Him denying Abby Maria a hug, telling the whole tribe to suck eggs, and whistling a little ditty as he gets voted out is peak Penner.
Bye. Bye, can I have a hug too?
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna hug anybody else.
Okay.
Sucks, Jeff. Guys, keep your sunny side up and suck eggs.
Penner is hilarious. I wish only the best for him, even though life has not given him the best over the past few years. R.I.P. Stacy. But Penner is somebody who, on a rewatch, I appreciate even more. His final tribal council speech is among the best of all time, too.
We've all given our hearts and souls to this game, some of us a tremendous amount of heart and soul. And to see anyone but ourselves sitting there looking at anyone else is painful. That said, you have my heartfelt congratulations. I know what's going on tonight is hard. Smart people asking tough questions. I will hope to continue that tradition. You shared with me once that the one thing that you were sort of afraid of being seen as was a bitch. You can rest assured that you have now shown the world that side.
Penner is such a treasure that deserves to be considered among the greatest characters that ever played a game.
10 seconds left!
Before what happens?
Before you gotta get off the boat, brother! You played this game before!
He's going in favorite.
Penner. What do you wanna do?
Kader, Penner. I mean, Kader, Denise. Wow.
Carter Williams. To be fair, you have to have a very high IQ to understand Carter Williams. His gameplay is extremely subtle, and without a solid grasp of trust clusters, most of his moves will go over a typical viewer's head. There's also Carter's nihilistic outlook, which is deftly woven into his edit. His personal philosophy draws heavily from Dave Ball's confessionals, for instance. The fans understand this stuff. They have the intellectual capacity to truly appreciate the depths of Carter's brilliance, to realize that he's not just a true game changer. He says something deep about Rice. As a consequence, people who dislike Carter Williams truly are idiots. Of course, they wouldn't appreciate, for instance, the genius in Carter's famous move, telling Penner he thought the vote was for Penner, which itself is a cryptic reference to Gabon's classic Jesus Hita Smith. I'm smirking right now as I'm imagining those addle-pated simpletons scratching their heads in confusion as the Survivor editor's genius wit unfolds itself on their television screens. What fools. How I pity them. And yes, by the way, I do have a Carter Williams tattoo, and no, you cannot see it. It's for the ladies' eyes only, and even they have to demonstrate that they're within 5 IQ points of my own, preferably lower, beforehand. Nothing personnel, kid. I saw Carter Williams at a grocery store in Los Angeles yesterday. I told him how cool it was to meet him in person, but I didn't want to be a douche and bother him and ask for photos or anything. He said, "Oh, like you're doing now?" I was taken aback, and all I could say was, "Huh?" But he kept cutting me off and going, "Huh? Huh? Huh?" and closing his hand shut in front of my face. I walked away, continued with my shopping. I heard him chuckle as I walked off. When I came to pay for my stuff up front, I saw him trying to walk out the doors with like 15 Milky Ways in his hands without paying. The girl at the counter was very nice about it and professional and was like, "Sir, you need to pay for those first." At first, he kept pretending to be tired and not hear her, but eventually turned back around and brought them to the counter. When she took one of the bars and started scanning it multiple times, he stopped her and told her to scan them each individually to prevent any electrical interference, and turned around and winked at me. I don't even think that's a word. After she scanned each bar and put them in a bag and started to say the price, he kept interrupting her by yawning really loudly. Carter Williams is a meh.
I came to the United States about 12 years ago. I have a very strong Brazilian accent. Hey, can you cut this in half for me, please? Hopefully I can use it as a flirtatious tool. Maybe my ass is too big. Yeah, I think it is. My big Brazilian booty.
Abby Maria Gomez.
A fairy just went like, and then it became Cinderella.
Abby Maria is another Survivor crush of mine. I know, I have terrible taste.
You know me, I'm a salty person.
I just want her to ruin my life. Abby Maria is like Jekyll and Hyde, where she will be the sweetest person in the world 1 minute, and then she decides she doesn't like you, and then you're dead to me.
I am your friend.
Me too.
But if you're you're dead. Seriously, you are done.
Straight, venomous hatred. So toxic. So wonderful.
You want to keep on talking to me? Move on. I'm serious. Stop. Move on. I'm not gonna talk to you about anything. You know what you did.
I didn't do anything.
I do not want to talk to you. You know exactly what you did. You betrayed me. You broke my trust. So that's it. Don't even go there.
That's why we need to talk, Abby.
I don't want to talk to you. I have nothing to talk to you.
Fine, then we'll talk.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I love how she genuinely doesn't realize how she comes off, and I can see why. It's mostly in her tone, and that you can attribute to a language barrier. However, even with that, the way she snaps on people is ridiculous, and it's a wonder how she ended up in similar placements on both her seasons, because she's such a perfect goat to bring to the end.
No social skills.
Maybe what? Me? What's up with me? I heard my name?
No,
we
didn't
see it. Oh, okay. Oh, maybe I'm deaf. No, yeah, well, but I'm glad you guys stepped up to the plate because I am done with the kitchen.
Okay.
Why?
Because I've been cooking for 26 days. I'm over it. And I'm leaving soon, so just enjoying my final moments.
Okay, well, we'll continue to feed you during your final moments.
Oh, you guys are great. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
She pisses everyone off, and absolutely nobody respects her. Why would you want to get rid of that? Abby Maria is entertaining all throughout the season, and this is her in her purest form.
Oh, it's
pulled the hair. She pulled the hair.
Abby with a nice move. Freeze.
She went for my hair.
What happened, Abby?
She went for my hair. I didn't mean to. Play like a man. Don't play like a bitch.
She has meltdowns at the camp, goes on strike, and just burns every jury vote she possibly could get except for Pete and maybe Artis. I honestly absolutely love her. She's such a massive bitch, and I mean that as a compliment. She just says what's on her mind and is real as fuck, and that's what I love about her. She's just one of the best villains the show has ever seen. She's also apparently the cause of RC never returning. RC was rumored to have been originally on the ballot for Second Chance, but refused to be on if Abby Maria was also on the ballot. And if you gotta choose between RC and Abby Maria, yeah, it's a no-brainer. Abby Maria, my toxic Brazilian princess, you're going into favorite.
We're at the final six now, and I have immunity. I can't be voted out tonight. And the last night I can play this is at the final five. I'm in the final four on Survivor, and it's only day 33. I can taste it. Oh my gosh.
Malcolm Freeburg. I generally don't like the Golden Boy archetype, but Malcolm is my main exception. I absolutely adore Malcolm. He's such a charming character. He has great strategical talks and is also hilarious.
Abby has all the social grace of a Mack truck.
He's the full package. He's not just the pretty face on an athletic body. He actually has a great personality to go with it.
Day one, we got the fire going. Russell's the one who actually did it, which actually works out in a way because he wants to be the leader so bad and everything has to be the way he wants it done. So when he was the one who actually got the fire going, in a way a little bit of a target came off my back because I'm not a threat to him.
He's not whiny, he's not entitled, he's just cool.
Oh, just to clear the air, there's way too much chaos tonight. I'm not going home. So this thing's getting played. It's put a target on my back. I'm not dealing with it anymore. And if anybody's jumped on Lisa's boat and decides to vote for me, you might be in for a mean surprise in a second.
He correctly gets labeled as a threat by Lisa early in the merge, and yet he's strategical and social enough where he just skirts all the way to fourth anyway. It's the closest Malcolm has ever come to winning the game. He beats everyone on this season if he gets to the end. Just getting to the end was going to always be an uphill battle for Malcolm, though. And the fact that he almost makes it is incredible. He's never getting this far again. This is the best Malcolm season. I really wish somehow Malcolm and his brother could have been on Blood versus Water.
Malcolm and Miles, win reward!
Yes! I can't believe you just did that.
But that would have been him playing three seasons in a row, which nobody wants. That last immunity challenge is so heartbreaking too. He gets the advantage and he still loses. It sucks so bad. He tries so hard and got so far, but in the end, it doesn't really matter. Matt Singh is also one of the best underdog stories in Survivor history.
I can say personally my lowest low was after the challenge today. Saying my dog died a few years ago that I had all my life and I didn't cry. I was about ready to cry after that challenge. It hurt that much.
And one of my favorite tribes ever, and Malcolm and Denise both going to the finale is awesome. Malcolm is the better of the duo, and in my opinion, 8-0-0's everyone. It's a shame the final reward challenge wasn't the immunity challenge because the advantage wasn't much of an advantage. It was a totally pointless reward challenge. Shame, because Malcolm is my favorite Golden Boy, and for sure in favorite.
My name is Lisa Welchel, and I play the character of Blair Warner on a show called The Facts of Life. Blair Warner would never in a million years be on Survivor, but I'm very, very different from Blair. I'm a huge fan of Survivor. I've never missed a show. And at this point, I'm not going to say, because I was on Facts of Life as a kid, I'm getting to be just Lisa.
Lisa Welchel.
Sister. Sister.
Don't stop dancing. Don't stop dancing till the curtains fall. If Lisa Welchel was a star in the 2010, she probably would have blown all her money on the crypto market.
Lost all the money that I made on the Facts of Life. I had a bunch of money invested. A lot of it just kind of went the way of the 80s crash. And that has just haunted me for 20 years.
For a former child star, she is surprisingly well-adjusted. And unlike other surprisingly well-adjusted former child stars like Macaulay Culkin or Drew Barrymore, she doesn't have this vacant look of sadness in her eyes. She just has the regular Survivor, I'm hungry and cold sadness, not the I lived a Jeanette McCurdy autobiography sadness.
It's spending a lifetime performing, tap dancing, acting, doing whatever it takes to do the right thing, to be liked. My whole life has been based on public perception. You know, I've lived my life on the stage since I was 7 years old. And even before that, learned to get love by performing and being good and being likable. So this is a whole lifetime of this.
No matter what happens, no matter how much it hurts, you don't stop dancing and you don't stop smiling and you give those people what they want.
I don't know anything about her life outside of Survivor, so maybe I'm missing an entire Lifetime movie based on her horrible childhood. Who knows? Just, she seems okay, which is more than I can say about most. I mean, look at Corey Feldman. She seems great, comparatively. I really don't think the rest of the cast would have cared if Lisa disclosed the fact that she was a former child star. It's not like the former child stars get a ton of work after they stop being kids. Apparently, she was also going through a divorce around this time. Poor gal. Regardless, she has this Kathy arc of being the older woman on the bottom at first, but then gaining control of the game through her relationship with Scoopin.
Yay! I can play this game! I can play this game, and I can play it well!
It's a shame she didn't campaign harder to keep Abby Maria around. She could have had very much won a Scoopin' Lisa Abby Maria final three. Lisa is one of the main narrators of the season, and she does a good job of explaining her strategy. Her content about what it was like to be a child star is very interesting, and she's a layered character that you can root for. She has way more strategic chops than Scoopin' too, and if she convinces Scoopin' to keep Abby Maria around and over Malcolm and Denise, Lisa wins the game. Unfortunately, Scoopin' is Scoopin' and thought it didn't matter who he sat with at the end. I'm putting her near the top of mildly entertaining.
Because you're an idiot. That's why you're going to lose $1 million.
Michael Scoopin'. Nope. Not doing it. No. I'm not doing it. I'm too grossed out by him to give him the time of the day. I did think it was absolutely hilarious that he thought he could beat Malcolm, though. He is a dark stain on an otherwise amazing cast. It's kind of funny that he's one of three, or two if you don't want to honor Colton Fitzvalid, players who have played at least twice and never been voted off. His loved one's visit is really uncomfortable, too, in hindsight. Throw him into the fucking volcano. Denise Stapley, let's end this on a positive note. Denise is so underrated. I like her game, and I think she's an amazing narrator.
You have lost your freaking mind, girl. Part of me just thinks, that's fine. Just let it piss everybody else off. You know what? Your time will come. And I may not get to tell her anything until I'm writing her name down, and it's that tribal council that she's finally walking out, and I get to say, you know what? Whiners are wieners. You need to go home.
She's the only player in history who goes to every single tribal council in a season, which is an absolutely amazing statistic. I love how she has this very calculated, very logical, very therapist approach to her relationships in the game, and it's fun watching her talk about other people. There's no doubt in my mind that she's been a therapist for a long time. She analyzes pretty much everyone without even really trying to. She's very entertaining throughout her entire run. Her bumping heads with Abby Maria is fun, and she has some pretty funny facial reactions to people being ridiculous, mainly Abby Maria and Angie. She's surprisingly badass in challenges, too. Very easy to root for.
She's a step above all of us socially. I don't think anybody could say a single negative thing about Denise at this point.
She gets in front of a jury,
They will stand up. They will say, you guys suck. You suck. She wins. You know, you're great. You're cute. You look funny.
You're real enthusiastic.
Yeah, it's awesome. Can I write you my own check along with the check that you get from Survivor to help with the taxes?
Super underrated winner. I'm glad she won instead of, God forbid, fucking scooping. And she's such a cool character that got to win. She's a great character and a great player. Her final tribal council performance is also pretty damn impressive, but that's to be expected from a therapist. Their entire job is spent focusing on how they word things, which is what final tribal council is all about. And all in all, it's fun to see it translated into Survivor. She wins in the oldest final three of the series. Jungle Mom goes high into entertaining. Philippines is an amazing season, stuck in the middle of a string of terrible seasons. In my opinion, it's an all-time classic. There's really not a lot of duds on this cast. It introduces Malcolm, M. Abby Maria, two all-time great characters, and aside from scooping, they're all a lot of fun to watch. Great season. It's going high in my rankings. Denise is a fantastic winner too. She's definitely up there on my winners list. It's also just incredibly entertaining from start to finish. There's not a lot of seasons that are as good as Philippines. Like, I would argue it's easily a top 10 season. I would say too, it laid the groundwork for modern Survivor, especially in its introduction of three tribes. We really haven't seen the three tribe format since All Stars, and now it seems like today that the three tribe format's not going away, and maybe we do have Philippines to thank for that. But anyway, next on the docket we have Kara Moen. Great. Fans vs. Favorites 2. You may think, wait, Fans vs. Favorites, that's one of your favorite seasons. Yeah, Fans vs. Favorites 1 is great because the Favorites tribe was full of actual favorites, but as we will see on Kara Moen, they didn't really give it the same billing, and it's a wonder why they went so obscure with the casting. It makes no sense, and you'll see, a lot of people on the Fans tribe too leave a lot to be desired, and it's just, it's not as bad as everyone says it is, but it's still pretty bad. It's definitely a slog to get to, but anyway, if you made it this far, thank you so much, and I'll see you in Kara Moen. Goodbye.